Fish and Game opposes the borough opening up more land to heliskiing for a special event this season, and a bill to update the state's distilling laws would have a big impact on a local business. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The State Department of Fish and Game is not supportive of a local heliskiing company's request to open more lands to skiing this season as a way to draw more visitors in a low snow winter. Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures is requesting the Haynesboro to open about 9,700 acres of land currently closed to skiing for a month between late March and April. The company wants to host a photography and cinematography contest as a way to deal with a season that has received national attention for being warm and less than ideal for skiing. It would draw more skiers here, knowing more areas available to explore and ski and to compete in the contest, the company says. The company applied for permission to use these lands under the umbrella of a special ski event. In that process, the borough assembly has to approve the request. The assembly will decide on that at its meeting Tuesday. But comments and recommendations about the request are already filtering in. Interim borough manager Julie Causey issued her recommendation last week. She suggested opening three of the five areas CBIL requests for the contest. Two of the areas were not previously open because the Chilkat Indian Village did not approve, and she said it would be inappropriate to open those areas without the village's approval. This week, the State Department of Fish and Game also weighed in with a letter to the Borough Assembly. Assistant Area Management Biologist Stephanie Sell encouraged the Assembly to not open any of the requested area because of sensitive mountain goat populations and ongoing studies. Sell goes over data the department has collected on mountain goats in the area CBA is requesting to open. She also writes that during the winter, mountain goats are physically and nutritionally stressed. Severe winters can cause population declines, although she doesn't specify if this season of low snow is considered severe yet. She also expresses concern for nannies and kid goats during this time of the season. She said the time requested by CBA, between March 21st and April 21st, overlaps with the period when late-term pregnant goats will be moving to nursery locations, and additional stress on the goats should be avoided. Sell also opposes the opening of the Four Winds area, where she said the department has counted a high number of goats. 55 adults and 13 kids were observed in that area during an aerial survey last September. Haynes Mayor Stephanie Scott responded to Sell's letter on Thursday with concerns of her own. The mayor wrote she was confused because she does not remember the department voicing any goat concerns when the borough was deciding whether to permanently open the areas in question to heliskiing operations last year. She said the areas were closed to heliskiing because of noise impacts, mostly, and because of Chilkat Indian Village Council's wildlife and cultural concerns in two of the areas. Sell then responded to Mayor Scott's letter. She said biologist Ryan Scott did participate in the heliskiing map committee meetings and raised the issue of mountain goat studies, but the data from September came in after the map committee completed its work. Sell also wrote that Ryan Scott and Assemblymember George Campbell have been discussing the issue and that Fish and Game would support a recommendation Campbell floated to them of possibly moving the start date of the special event to April 1st. Sell writes any buffer provided to goats during this stressful period is beneficial. The Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee, by a vote of 6-1 this week, also backed Sell's letter and recommendation to not open any of the areas for a special ski event. The Commerce Committee is planning on taking public comments on the CBA request to open lands for a special event at its Tuesday meeting at 5:45. Then the Assembly will decide the matter at its meeting immediately following at 6:30. The Assembly at that meeting will also be hearing an appeal from CBA's partner company, Big Salmon Ventures, for a permit for a private heliport at Chilkat Lake Road. Walking into the Port Chilkoot Distillery in Fort Seward, you can smell the spice from the batch of gin in the still. You see boxes and bottles of 12 Votes Moonshine and Icy Straight Vodka, and oak barrels of aging whiskey. You can see and smell all of this artisanal liquor. You just can't taste it. That's because an Alaska law doesn't allow sales and tastings of products at a distillery. Instead, visitors have to head to a local bar or liquor store to purchase and sip the spirits. But a bill being drafted this legislative session could change that. Heather Shade is the head distiller at Port Chilkoot. She said the law change would put craft distilleries on par with breweries and wineries that have more opportunity to promote their products.
our goal behind that is to give, Alaska distilleries have so much of a disadvantage when we're producing products. We have extremely high shipping costs, we have extremely high tax rates, and we are very restricted in what we're able to actually do at our distilleries.
Alaska is one of the few states that hasn't updated its distillery laws. Most such laws are holdovers from the Prohibition era and were meant to regulate large, mass quantity liquor producers. But just like craft breweries and wineries, craft distilling is gaining popularity. The laws in Alaska just haven't kept up with the trend, Shade says.
Alaska is way behind all of the other states in updating their laws. Most of the other states have created new laws that help promote these new small-scale manufacturing businesses that are using agricultural products grown in the state that are bringing in tourism and that are creating export goods for each of the states.
By allowing tasting and sales on site, Shade said the bill would allow distilleries to market themselves as tourist destinations and give locally produced products a competitive edge over mass-produced liquors shipped in from out of state.
Allow us to better promote Alaskan-made products and for us to be able to help people who visit here understand how, for example, Alaskan agricultural products and wild harvested products are used.
The bill was introduced by Anchorage Democrat Chris Tuck and is still undergoing revisions. Shade is working with the other four Alaska craft distilleries currently operating in the state. Those are in Wasilla, Soldotna, Fairbanks, and Anchorage. Recently, the bill received preliminary support from CHAR, the Alaska Cabaret Hotel, Restaurant, and Retailers Association. That group has a strong lobby in Juneau, and CHAR's support of the distillery bill is crucial for its continued momentum. Shade said the other distilleries are still working to hash out specific language with input from CHAR. The bill in February was referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee, but has not yet been scheduled for a hearing. A fire destroyed a building and over 1 million King and Coho salmon eggs at Crystal Lake Hatchery on Mitkoff Island south of Petersburg earlier this week. The loss of eggs will impact hatchery releases around Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan a year from now and could affect other southeast fisheries. Joe Wicknicki reports.
Volunteer Fire Department spokesman Dave Berg says the call came in around 2:30 Tuesday morning. He says the department decided to send one truck to the site. It's almost 18 miles south of Petersburg.
When our truck got out there with our senior fire officers, they discovered that the building indeed was fully engulfed, and they went into defensive mode with hose lines off of the truck. They drafted water and were able to keep the sections of the building that contained fuel tanks cool, and so there was no spill to our knowledge, but the building is a total loss.
Berg says the fire department wanted to keep some engines and resources in town in case of another fire in Petersburg.
We certainly appreciate all of the volunteers who showed up, and hopefully the people understand the importance of keeping, a crew and resources in town in case something happens. Here, we can't, in an area, especially with a long response time like it would be to 18 mile, it would be real difficult to put out a fire that that had a good seat on it, and save a structure that was that far away. So we just glad no one was hurt.
The Assistant State Fire Marshal is in town this week on other business and is investigating the cause of the fire. No injuries were reported. Hatchery buildings are owned by the state of Alaska, but they're operated by the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or SARA, based in Ketchikan. It produces king and coho salmon. John Burke is the general manager with the regional nonprofit Hatchery Association. He says the incubation room burned down and fuel tanks and the generator room were also damaged in the blaze.
Well, basically the incubation room is the hatchery itself. So right now, the eggs in the hatchery are pretty well, or a good part of the eggs that were in the hatchery are pretty well destroyed this year. And those would include the chickaman stockfish that we take back to Neat's Bay. And they would include some of the Andrews Creek fish that we were scheduled to release at City Creek there in Petersburg, as well as at Anita Bay. Now, these aren't this year's releases. They would be the releases in 2015.
Anita Bay is near Wrangell, while Neats Bay is between Wrangell and Ketchikan. Sarah's eggs were originally taken from the Chickaman River, that's near Ketchikan, and Andrews Creek, a tributary of the Stikine River near Wrangell. Burke estimates around 1.2 to 1.3 million eggs were lost in the fire and does not think it will be possible to replace them from another hatchery facility. He thought the loss to commercial fishing fleets could be valued over $1 million. Burke hopes that Sarah can rebuild the incubation room.
It doesn't mean this is a good situation, but it would be trying to make the best out of what is a bad situation. So we would try to replace what's there. We will try to get it fixed either there or go somewhere else with eggs so that we can take eggs there this August when we normally would. We would like to keep the program going, and we think we can do that.
Some of the 2015 eggs had already been moved from the incubation building and escaped the fire. Those eggs lost Tuesday in the fire were gathered from other hatchery facilities around the region last summer, and that was after warm weather killed off a large portion of the returning Crystal Lake king salmon. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicki for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.